Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome to the Robin Walters Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. I hope you got, do you have 3 hours to spare? You know what, I can't fit 3 hours into a 56-minute program. I can fit 57 minutes into 56, but gosh, all that is going on. And I can't say that I have a specific piece of good news other than some things that Trump has done, like reducing some spending, cutting foreign aid. There's a whole bunch of good stuff that he's doing on the economic front. But it's all at risk, which is what this program is about today, because I've titled this program, "Only One Person Can Get Trump." That's not who you think it is. But I'm going to start with a couple of lead-up things to this, which are concerning. As you know, I love Trump's policies, virtually all of them. He's far better than most of us could imagine. And yet he's at the brink of maybe throwing it away over the Epstein deal. And I got about 3 hours sleep last night. So I woke up at about 1 and I couldn't get back to sleep. I just had this download of more information and thoughts and ideas. I finally, after an hour trying to get back to sleep, I said, "It's useless. I'm supposed to get up." And so I'm up till 4:30. Taking down notes and thoughts about all of this and what is going on. I gave you my insight last week, but I'm here to update that. Everybody's working with limited information. And I know Trump can say, "Don't be consumed with this. Why are you paying attention to it? It's a hoax, blah, blah, blah." He's not going to get away with that. It just is not going to work. And I don't think God's going to let it work. There's something that's got to come out. And that is, it's a scripture. It says that we are actually commanded to expose the works of darkness. And so the works of darkness here really have nothing to do so much with whether Jeffrey Epstein was murdered or not. That really only involves one party. You know, maybe he's part of the Clinton body bag brigade. I don't know. I don't know. But there's a bigger story if you've got a lot of girls being raped, abused, statutory rape, on an island in the Caribbean where there's probably, I don't know the jurisdictional side of this. I'm an attorney. Maybe I should, but I haven't been interested enough to know if the reason for Pedophile Island was some degree of favorability of laws to keep from being prosecuted as to what went on there. Though that doesn't stop, you know, the prosecution for what went on inside the states. But I want to start with some, you know, that one of the things that has challenged me with Trump, and I've said this before, he just doesn't know when to shut up. And people excuse it by saying, "Well, that's just Trump being Trump." Well, Trump being Trump is going to blow both of his feet off here at some point, from which there may be no recovery. And there was a huge turning point this week in the whole relationship between this administration and its diehard MAGA support. But the things, you know, whether it's Bruce Springsteen, just shut up, Donald. Whether it's Taylor Swift, who gives a rat's rear end? Just shut up. Look, you can't take Rosie O'Donnell's citizenship away. You talked about trying to make her a non-citizen. You can't do that. The 14th Amendment couldn't be clearer. He's just talking about stuff he doesn't need to be talking about. He gives these people visibility and elevation by continuing to harp on them and battle with them. And the latest thing with AOC and Jasmine Crockett, that he wants to hand out IQ tests to the two of them to see who comes out the best. He says, quote, AOC, look, I think she's very nice, but she's very low IQ, and we really don't need low IQ. Okay. Trump told the reporters, he said, between her and Crockett, we're going to give them both an IQ test to see who comes out best. Well, obviously, he's joking. He can't make them take an IQ test. And then he went on to say, however, this is where he gets in trouble. He mixes, the mouth doesn't slow down in time for the brain to function, and the brain doesn't function correctly all the time. I have to say this because what he then said is something I know personally about. He said, now I took my test. I took a real test at Walter Reed Medical Center, and I aced it. I got every one of all those questions right. Now it's time for them to take a test. Okay. He goes on to say, quote, I got the highest mark, and one of the doctors said, sir, I've never seen anybody get that kind of test. That was the highest mark. Well, the test was the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, and it's used to detect early signs of dementia. And it includes all sorts of things that you do, drawing, but this is where I can speak personally as to knowing that Trump is radically wrong here. He's just off. Whether it's from firing an M16 in the military, too much rock music, I don't know, I worked for my dad in his lumberyard, high-powered saws and so forth, and chainsaws, which I love cutting wood, I've had a little bit of a hearing issue. And I saw a doctor who, very well renowned, and I have this tinnitus, some call it tinnitus, like Igor, tomato, tomato, divisive, who knows? Well, call it what you want, but I've had that, and it's slowly getting worse. And he sits on the American Tinnitus Board. Somebody wants to write me, redskyradio777@gmail.com. I will pass on his name. He's just a superb Greek physician. Actually, the only one who does certain things dealing with tinnitus in the state of Michigan. I think he's a president of the American Tinnitus Foundation. There's only one doctor in Arizona, and I just didn't care for him as much as this one in Michigan. But in any event, I took a 2.5-hour test. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you, I have to give you this cognitive test. I said, a cognitive test? Well, it was the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. The same thing that Trump took. And I said, well, why? He said, well, because there's some indication, not necessarily firmly established, but there's some indication that there may be a connection between very early Alzheimer's or dementia and hearing loss. I said, oh, really? I said, well, okay, let's have it, because my cognitive skills, I wouldn't say, have ever been great, but that's just my fallback excuse. So I went through all the drills, drawing this stuff, pulling levers, you name it. And he came into the room, which was cordoned off for sound. And I said, so, doctor, am I on my way to Bunkersville or something like that? And he laughed. He said, no, you actually got the highest mark on this cognitive test that I have ever seen for anyone even remotely close to your age. You got a 99-something, like 99.5. Now, here's a quote, Trump, I got the highest mark, and one of the doctors said, sir, I've never seen anybody get that kind of mark. That was the highest mark. Same test, same comment, obviously no signs of early dementia, praise God. But then the doctor said something to me with a smirk on his face, but he meant it. He said, I just want to let you know that this cognitive test has actually nothing to do with your IQ. And that's a fact. And Donald Trump has confused the cognitive test with an IQ test, of which he's contending Crockett and AOC are dense. I think they are dense. I think they're evil. I do not think either one of them is smart. I tend to think they're somewhat brainless. I don't think they're quite as dumb as Nancy Pelosi. Where I've said before, if a random bullet entered her left ear, it would emerge from her right ear without any material reduction in velocity. These girls are not smart. Crockett's smarter, I think, than AOC, actually. But he's totally confused a cognitive score with IQ and then beating on. He doesn't need to talk about these things. You know, there's a biblical passage that just struck me here that even the person who remains silent is thought to be wise. Right? And you open your mouth and, you know, if somebody thinks you're a fool, all you got to really do is open your mouth and talk a lot and prove them correct. He talks too much about ridiculous, inane things. And he's wrong on a bunch of them. His temper, he's thin-skinned, it gets in the way. And it ends up becoming not only a detraction, but counterproductive to the things he's trying to do, which are fabulous. He is already the best modern-day American president. I don't think there's any question about it. He beats Ronald Reagan. He certainly beats both Bushes to pieces. And Eisenhower, I don't know where you got to go back. Abraham Lincoln, maybe he's better. I don't know. But he's fabulous. If he passed away from a heart attack tomorrow, he should get as a post-mortem Nobel Peace Prize. And there should be monuments and everything. I would be totally fine with that. It just hurts and bothers me that he's undoing his own success when he cannot stay quiet. So we get now to the Epstein thing. And this may cover the whole rest of the hour, but I've got a lot to share. I was busy jotting down things from 2:30 a.m. to 4:30 a.m., so help me out here. Don't make my time that I spent losing sleep be in vain. But you know, there's trouble in River City when House Speaker Mike Johnson calls for release of the Epstein files with all the backlash. And for the first time ever, he's noticeably, manifestly not on the same side as Trump. What was that? The Music Man. There's trouble in River City. In this case, though, it's spelled E-P-S-T-E-I-N. And I actually need to go back last week because with the information I had, I made an analysis which I felt was spot on. I mean, I just thought so. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't have shared it. And from what I could tell, there were others, not because they're listening to me. I'm chump change in the podcast and radio broadcasting world compared to the heavyweights. But it wasn't until I had done that after that I started to hear some pieces where people were agreeing with what I indicated last week, that my rationale from last week was this, that Epstein is an attention-grabbing headline. It will consume the public, which has an insatiable desire for scandal, unless there's just too many Democrats, then it's under the rug, to whatever extent it can be. And Trump's main concern was not with anything really truly connected with Epstein, but the fact that any shift, and especially an obsessive consumption and addiction to this story by both those on the left, the right, and independent, makes him a voice in the wilderness, though not like John the Baptist, but nonetheless a voice in the wilderness to which no one is going to listen. So I said that I felt like his real problem with all this is it was going to take the spotlight off from him and his agenda, and for some unknown period of time, people would be absorbed with the Epstein matter. And he couldn't get anything through Congress because they would be busy with this and he'd be left with nothing but executive orders. That was my take with the information I had. I think it was strong, but wrong. I think some others have kind of felt the same way, but here's why I think I was wrong. And it comes from Wednesday, this week, where Trump basically was just bashing MAGA people, condemning them for being fixated on the Epstein matter, saying they're, fallen into Democratic hands, the playbook. And there's no doubt what Democrats love this issue because they haven't had anything. I mean, they've had to lie for months, if not years, about stuff, innuendo, scripted, edited stories. It's just part of their playbook. And when they don't have anything truthful, they lie. But they got something to go on now. And you think they're going to let it up with a media 90% left? 94% of journalists vote Democrat, just to let you know. So Trump did no one any favors when he came out and said about those people who have supported him being, in his term, fixated on the Epstein matter. He said, quote, "Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking of our incredible and unprecedented success because I don't want their support anymore." And he goes on to talk about his past supporters. Are they past because he doesn't think they support him anymore, or are they past because he doesn't want them anymore? He said that. And I think the answer lies in the statement that he said, because I don't want their support anymore. This changed my conclusion, because if the purpose of Trump trying to keep a lid on the Epstein story is that it would detract from all this other stuff that needs to get done, much of which obviously requires congressional support, and it gets delayed, or it goes from the front burner to the back burner, then maybe totally off the stove, it doesn't get done. But let me ask you this simple question, Donald. How does it get done if you turn around and attack your own support people? You have now ensured that some of it isn't getting done because you just sent your supporters packing. I mean, you got... I mean, you got the Speaker of the House saying, you know what, we need to get the Epstein files out here. He doesn't have the Speaker of the House on his side. So when he takes his approach, he says, I don't want your support anymore, your past supporters. Not current supporters, your past. It's like, if you're not with me on everything, you're not with me on anything. Which is sort of juvenile, I have to say. And so if that's the divide that he creates in his own side, how can he think that that divide is the approach to getting things done, but whereby he must suppress all this stuff? No, he's actually putting a knife to his own agenda when he divides his base. That's why my thought has to be wrong, or Trump is just not as smart as maybe we thought he was. I don't know. But I think I was wrong on that. And, you know, I'm into this because I'm interested. I want the same things everybody else wants. Truth, transparency, justice, all the things that we believe that this administration would represent. And you know what? So far, it has, superbly. It's not like this is the fourth thing that they've kind of fallen down on. This is the first. But I don't want the first to be the thing that causes it to unravel. Because this was brought up in the campaign statements about Epstein that he made and so forth. It really comes down to this. You cannot feed a monster and then pretend that the monster is simply a figment of everybody's imagination. You can't berate your followers for not having the same information that you apparently have but you don't share. How are they supposed to come to a conclusion on their own when they don't have the information because you won't share it? Just prove it. Just prove it's got to be. You got to prove it. It's like Arch Manning. I love this kid at Texas, University of Texas. I hope he carries on. I hope he exceeds both of his uncles, Eli and Peyton, and his grandpa, Archie Manning, and he just shoots a light. He's a great kid. He's so modest and everything, and everybody thinks he's going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. But he came out the other day, says, look, I don't like cameras, but I just have this much to say. You can talk all you want, but I got to prove it. That's the bottom line. You got to prove it. You can't berate your followers for not having the information that you apparently have, but you won't share. So I'm going to go through what I think are the possibilities. Last week I just mentioned the one that I think he felt that the obsession with this issue would derail his legislative agenda. Well, his legislative agenda is not going to just get derailed. It'll be crash and burn if he alienates everybody that he needs to get the legislative agenda passed by calling them weaklings and those things. Call your enemies what you want, Donald, although I don't like that. But don't call your supporters and your friends that. So what are the possibilities? Well, A, possible that my initial analysis was correct. I don't think so, but that's a possibility. And Trump doesn't get it. He still thinks that suppressing the truth is somehow the answer to getting his legislative agenda through. Number one. Number two, Trump is in the Epstein files. But I don't think so. And I don't think so for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's a history here at well documented that when Epstein went down to Mar-a-Lago some years back, he was putting the hit on some girl who was serving drinks or whatever. And I don't know the exact details, but it really ticked Trump off. He booted Epstein out and told him to never come back again. Of course, how would he? If he's not invited, that's up to Trump, whether he invites him or not. Don't come. So he doesn't. There's no love loss. And Trump has for some time called him a creep, which he is. Epstein is a creep, was a creep. So I don't think that he's in there. But the next read is I don't think he is in there. But is if he is, wouldn't it seem like the Democrats would have played that card before the election? I mean, wouldn't it have been better to keep Trump out of office than to hold back and use this to try to boot him from office once he's already in? Unless they were so convinced he was going to win that they said, let's not waste this card. Let's keep this as an ace up our sleeve. I don't know what they're thinking. I guess that's a possibility or a variation here on number two. We know that the media is in the tank for all things anti-Trump. We know that because every photo you see of Trump and Epstein, it's 20 years old. There's nothing. Do they show him with Billy Clinton, who's more recent, and various nefarious other Democrats? Of course not. Doesn't serve their purpose. So somehow the fact that there was a social connection 20 years ago, which preceded Epstein Island, then it's a guilt by association. But that's all that they got to work with. So it would seem to me if they had more offhand, I'd say they would have played that. I don't think they could have resisted playing that card pre-election to sink him. I don't think that they have that kind of patience and calculating intent to have pulled that off. So I don't think he's in there. Next possibility, C. He's not in the files in reality, but the FBI, a corrupt FBI, has inserted him, and so now the entire file is corrupted. I mean, I'm not sure how we get out of this mess. I don't know how you prove that or disprove it. We know we can't prove negatives. I can't prove to you, as screwy as it sounds, I can't prove to you that there is not a McDonald's on Mars. I mean, we know there isn't, but I can't prove it. It's a very tough thing to do. As well as a lot of people know, especially any lawyers that are listening to this program. So I'm not sure where you go with that, and I'll just have to leave it there. The next one, D, threats against the life of friends and family. I don't think Trump is honestly afraid of a threat to his life. He's dealt with that for years. In one sense, he has a ridiculously thin skin when people say negative things about him, and yet at the same token, he's got an extremely thick skin when it comes to moving forward in the face of just incredibly manifest danger and adverse circumstances. I mean, it's just, he's amazing. He's hard to figure out. God has brought him along for just such a time as this. I believe that, no matter how this turns out, and you'll hear more on that a little bit later. The records have simply been destroyed by Biden's FBI because the records were more harmful to Democrats and Democrat supporters than it was to any Republicans. This one. When nothing else works, it's like the Democrats, you know, when they don't have anything else intelligent to say. They only got about a 10-word vocabulary. Now, it's Islamic, homophobia, blah, blah, climate change. And then when those are run out, out come the F-bombs, because they think that being louder with profanity actually is a substitute for substance, which, of course, we know it is not. My mother-in-law had a little thing on her refrigerator many years ago. She's been deceased for a long time, but it said profanity is the attempt by a weak mind to express itself forcibly. Boy, that'll preach, huh? Well, okay. The last one, though, here, national security interest. Well, what would that be? We can't release this for national security interest purposes. Well, I don't know what that would be. It could be a thousand different things. This is the easiest cover-up in the world for non-disclosure, because they can't tell you why it's being, I mean, in reality, the detail, they can't tell you why it's being withheld, because it's for national security reasons. Because it's national security, we can't do it, and we won't do it because it breached. It's a circular wagons in a circle kind of defense that would cover anything and everything in the world. Just got to say we can't for national security. Who's going to challenge that? Well, tell us, what's the national security risk? Well, we can't tell you what the national security risk is because it's for national security. You can't get there. They'll spin that all day long. Now, I got six important points I'd like to cover here before we move on to maybe what I think is the answer to the resolution here. I'm not going to get all through six before the break here, but I'm going to start out that this thing is not really about Epstein. Point number one. Was it suicide or murder? Well, does that matter? Well, yeah, it does. But a murder only involves one person or one party, like the Clintons. I'll just throw that out there because they seem to be an easy pick. I mean, is it earth-shaking? Well, to the Clintons it would be, but it's not earth-shaking to anyone else. And that would be a big story. It would be a good story, but it would also be a short story, because everybody knows that Clinton's a lech, and we've got this body bag train that runs behind him going all the way back to Arkansas, and how much of it is provable. I don't know. We know that some of it is true. Is all of it true? I don't know. But the point is, a murder only involves one party or one group, not a whole bunch of people. That's number one. We'll be back with two through six in just a minute. Don't go away.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, why that song today? Because with what's going on, and then I don't think I'm going to get to it. I could spend the whole hour on Chip and Joanna Gaines' compromise into the descent of the sodomistic underworld. Love that Babylon Bee piece. That in the celebration of Gay Pride Month, they've come out with a gay-themed shiplap. Well, if you watch the program, you know what I mean. It's like 90. I don't have enough tears for all the things that are just kind of going the wrong direction this week. But you know, the Lord's mercies are there every morning, right? Wouldn't need the mercies in the morning if the night hadn't been so bad. And after you enjoy his mercies for a while, you'll know what's next. Something bad's going to happen. But things bad don't stay bad for long before his mercies come back around. It's called life. And so that's, we're just kind of in the dark side of that right now as to these issues. Okay, so the first point was, it's not really a big deal if it's suicide or murder. Obviously, I don't want murderers to go free. And if it's a big name, all the more for them to pay the price. Number two, they've talked about bribery by Epstein. And this is reaches more people if there was some substance to it. I don't know how that's provable at this point. And in some respects, it's irrelevant because Epstein's dead. So what if he did? I mean, it's important in the sense that if there's something provable there that there was an attempt to bribe somebody, then obviously the bribery necessary to bribe Epstein, or call it extortion on the reverse side if you want, is important because it becomes connected with the identity of somebody who obviously has done something bad, or we wouldn't even be talking about it. I don't think that's the biggest deal. The next point, though, I want to make is Donald's harangue that no one really cares anymore because this is 5 years old. Gosh, the speech he gave the other day. Why are you still talking about this thing from 5 or 6 years ago? And how did he end the speech? Talking about something that happened 5 or 6 years ago. The laptop, the Russian collusion, the 2020 election. So this is a bit duplicitous or hypocritical, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's just not connecting all the dots here on this thing, but don't make what happened 5 or 6 years ago important to you when something happened 5 or 6 years ago is not important to you, but it's really important to the nation. Truth, transparency, and justice. Just a point. So, because that's what the campaign was, that was point really number four, about truth, justice, and transparency, to get the deep state out. But this seems like a roadblock in what has been such a superior effort by this administration to root out the deep state. But take a look at what has happened all inside of 7 days. You have Joe Biden's doctor in White House before White House committee hearing taking the Fifth Amendment. Now, we all know Fifth Amendment is, you know, to avoid self-incrimination and all that happy stuff. But it also means you got something to hide. You can make very articulate educational points by saying that that's not the case, but that doesn't fly with a common man. And I'm a common man here. I'm an attorney, but I still think that when somebody takes a fifth, obviously they're hiding something. They didn't have anything to hide. They would share it. So consider this. In 1 week, we have Joe Biden's doctor taking the Fifth Amendment. We have in the same week Jill Biden's chief of staff taking the Fifth Amendment. And we sort of have Donald Trump taking the Fifth Amendment, not wanting to reveal anything that's going on that went on in the Epstein matter. It's sort of a Fifth Amendment thing, but it's not himself he's necessarily trying to protect, or I hope not. Maybe it's for other reasons we already covered, but how can you have all the bigwigs, Joe, Jill, and Donald, kind of dodging accountability? Or in case of Joe and Jill, it was the doctor and the chief of staff. Maybe in Trump, it's a case of Pam Bondi. It's an ugly look. It's an ugly look that we have wanted to rid ourselves of. And like I said, this administration has done a superlative job of doing just that till we have hit this big honking speed bump. And this is about justice. This is about not letting elites off the hook. This is about abused girls, statutory rape, child trafficking. I'm sorry, President, but those issues actually are greater to your, than your agenda. Your agenda is secondary to these really grievous things if they happen, and there's only one way to find out if they happen. Let's release the files, but I got something else to share, which we'll get to. The last thing, point six in this round, is I don't like seeing an effort to trade in technicalities. So what have we heard? There's no list, there's no list, there's no list. Well, the way it's presented, you could say there are a lot of people involved, but there's no list. The no list comments might simply mean, I don't have a piece of paper that has 27 names written down on it that abuse girls, statutory rape, child trafficking, etc., on Pedophile Island. You see, the technicality of we don't have a list, the list does not have to be written. It doesn't have to be spelled out, and yet you could say there's no list because there isn't a physical list in the manner by which I described a physical list. The next technicality, which I hate, that they've used is that we're going to release what's appropriate. And I'll bring in number three because it's in the same sentence. They're going to release what's warranted. Look, we know the devil's in the details, so could we please define what is appropriate? Please define what's warranted. These are two words that can be used so easily with such great felicity almost. Like, we can't do it because of national security. Well, you just say, well, it's not warranted. It's not appropriate. Well, what's not appropriate? Oh, well, we can't. It's not appropriate to tell you what's not appropriate. What's not warranted? Well, we can't tell you what's not warranted because it's not warranted. Do you see where I'm going? These are technicalities that seem to be being used to hide or at least obfuscate the truth. And it's very, very bothersome to me. So, I'm not going to get to Chip and Joanna Gaines. That's going to be next week. So I think there, oddly enough, there's really only one way Donald Trump can cleanse himself here. Risky? Well, I'll tell you, I don't think there right now is a greater risk than not moving forward with some sort of disclosure. And that is to actually allow, you ready? Ghislaine Maxwell to testify. Yeah, risky. I understand. I mean, I just think that this is, well, I realize what it's going to do. There'll be a media feeding frenzy. Some will absolutely love the salacious, tawdry stories because that's what sells. And sadly, the public has a ravenous appetite for that kind of garbage. But I also think there are actually more people, like I trust you and myself to be, who want the truth, the transparency, and the justice. That there's not this voyeuristic attachment to watching juvenile girls get raped. That's not it. I don't want to see that. And the videos that they say is one reason for not being able to release this stuff. You can redact videos. We know that. You can, you know, mask the identity. But the videos have nothing to do, some salacious video, with necessarily identifying who went to Epstein Island, Pedophile Island. I mean, this isn't about watching the juvenile girls get worked over. The video is unnecessary, totally unnecessary, to get to the truth of the matter, and that is who is involved. Now, if they get arrested, then maybe those videos do come forth as part of the prosecution. I'll have to defer to some of my prosecutor friends for the answer to that one. But because of the ugliness of the crime, you can't go into that and after names and so forth, but their identities could be masked. And if that ever got to a trial, but it doesn't have to come to light at this stage of identifying who's involved. And why? Because Ghislaine, funny first name, isn't it? Ghislaine Maxwell knows. She knows. And so when we get to that, if she testifies, yeah, that people say, to what end? Could she lie? Well, yeah, of course she could lie. Could she commit perjury? Yeah. What's she going to get? Another 20 years in prison? She's already in prison. She doesn't have a fear of imprisonment for perjury. That's been taken away. Now, would her credibility be questioned? Of course it would be. But this is before Congress, not in a court at this point. And there's only one place in her, there's only one kind of protection she needs. If she gets sued, so what? She can't use the assets that she has, whatever they are. I actually looked up her house that's for sale in New Hampshire. I think it's something like, I can't even remember the name of the town. Looked like a nice house. I have no interest. But she obviously has it priced based on the attachment to the media. And I hope she sells it. She's going to need the money. But if she got sued, so what? She's in prison. If they take everything she has, there's not much in prison that you can use with what you do have. She just simply has to make it to the hearing alive. That's all she's got to do. Because once the beans are spilled in the hearing, there's really not much reason to try to ice her. It's spilled. And if she has a financial concern, I would say this. How much do you think she could get for a book advancement to spill the beans? $25 million? $50 million? $100 million? I have to tell you, I think that if she wanted to come out with a book, she possibly could get the biggest advance on that book in history. I really think so. It would beat everything. The appetite for the public, for whatever reason, meritorious or nefarious, salacious or righteous. What is it, the Inquirer? Inquiring people want to know, or whatever they have on that thing. So, she might be the only person, the only one out there, who actually has something to say about who might have had the motive to kill him. Does she actually know something about the death of Jeffrey Epstein. So to the extent that I said that's not really relevant, except in the case of the person who or group that had him murdered, if he was murdered, if he was, she may be the only person who has any unheard insight into that matter. Second, she'd be the only person to actually shed any light on the past possibility of blackmail or extortion. Maybe she was present when Epstein said to Prince Andrew, "Hey, Andy, baby, Andy, you know this is going to cost you today. It's going to cost you." And he smiled, "Yeah, no problem." I don't know what could come out of this. But I'm not interested in protecting elites. And here's the big deal. Ghislaine Maxwell doesn't need a list. She can create the list in her oral testimony. She's got the list in her head. And if it hits the paper, it would be the transcription of her oral testimony before that committee. And the things that she could say, how would that list be formed? She said, well, if the question comes, well, did Bill Clinton ever visit Pedophile Island? Well, we'd call it Epstein Island, but she said, oh, many times. Well, did you have conversations? Well, blah, 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 blah. Did you see him? Well, yeah, I did see him go into a private room with a young girl that I arranged. She was underage, and he came out, and he looked exhausted, and then a few minutes later, the girl came out crying. Bingo. I don't know how this, what form this takes. Ghislaine, could you tell us the most, 10 of the most notable people you recall being at Epstein Island to visit there? Ghislaine, could you tell us, did you ever see Donald Trump there? Go on. Do you ever see Mitch McConnell? I don't know which way this goes. Maybe she said, yeah. Donald Trump did visit the island once. Really? And what happened? He said, well, he flew in late one morning, and he and Jeffrey had lunch. And I was there for part of the lunch, and they finished up, had dessert, and Donald jumped on a plane and took off. Or she could say, no, he's never been there. You see, Ghislaine, I mean, she could lie. She could hate Trump enough. She would perjure herself on this. But he's got an opportunity at some point to defend himself. See, if Donald Trump, to Trump, I think that he has less to fear of her. I think that it's less likely that she could sink him than it is that she could free him. But you can't get to the truth by suppressing it. And so, in the brief time I have left, I'm going to come to some conclusions. And I want to finish with a reference to Scripture that is extremely applicable here. God saved his life in Butler, Pennsylvania for a reason. Is there any question about it? I would only say to him, if you know that God saved your life, that doesn't mean you can do anything and get away with everything. So don't blow it. Don't cut your calling short through this kind of a misstep, Donald. You could get to the point where your usefulness to the kingdom of God is it's just no longer useful. You're called to expose the works of darkness, and at the point which you do it, maybe God just removes you. It could be that God has simply accomplished all that he plans to accomplish through you. I don't want to see that. He's got more to do, but he's moving at lightning speed, which I find very interesting. Lightning speed. To get stuff done, because maybe there's something that's going to happen. Maybe God wants J.D. Vance in office sooner rather than later to finish what you've started and be the biggest surprise to Gavin Newsom that Gavin Newsom's ever had. But I have to go back 9 years to something. In 2016, the summer of 2016, when Trump announced that he was running, I spent an entire month. Every single program was focused on how Donald Trump, in my opinion, was a modern-day Jehu. to throw down the Jezebel. Hey, you eunuchs, throw that bag out the window. And they bounce her off the wall on the way down. You know, hey, eight ball in the corner pocket. And then Jehu and his guys trample her. And then they go have lunch. They trample her. Then they say, well, let's go have lunch. Come back out. And the dogs have eaten her. Then he destroys all the prophets of Baal and all of these good things. I said, this is what I see in Donald Trump. There's a paradigm. And 3 or 4 years later, not because he heard my program, I just think God had an independent revelation to Jonathan Kahn, and he said the same thing, and I can't even think what book it was now. But he didn't conclude with a conclusion that I had that was a concern. The paradigm, if completed, which I hope it's not. Not all paradigms are true to the very nth degree. But the conclusion was that Jehu ended up serving the very Baal that he set out to destroy. God put it in his heart to kill Ahab, Jezebel, all the prophets there when they killed him inside the temple there. All the sons of Ahab, grandsons included. I mean, there are a couple of chapters in, all of a sudden I forgot if it was 1 or 2 Kings, but there's a couple of chapters there I think are written for junior high boys. I mean, I feel like, man, this is full of gore and blood. These kids would be eating this stuff up. I find it interesting. But in the end, he reverted back to the man he was. God's purpose was all done. And he himself went back to serving Baal. I hope, truly hope, that's not the case with Donald Trump. Because absent divine intervention, I mean, speaking on a personal human basis, there is only one person who can get Trump, and it's not Ghislaine Maxwell. The only person who can get Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's the only one, because if he messes it up, God could pull the string on him. See, my desire, and this is my prayer, this is my biblical reference. He has been a Jehu of Jehus, but I don't want him to finish as Jehu. My prayer is that while he starts as Jehu, he finishes as a Josiah. Jehu was ruthless. He accomplished what God wanted done. And it says in the word, Jehu did all that was in God's heart. All these people got slaughtered. That was God's intent. But he didn't finish well. And I want Trump to finish well. Josiah is said of Josiah, he's a better king than David. Scriptures say in 2 Kings that there was no king before Josiah like him and no king afterwards. He was ruthless in rooting out unrighteousness, not in the manner that Jehu did, but he was so bothered by false prophets, even having a burial space in Judah, that he told his boys to dig them up and burn them. Right? Right. Burn those bones. I don't even want the bones in Israel. These guys are so bad. Now, we know that everybody's sinned, and Josiah no doubt did, but there's actually no record of it. Sort of like Joseph. We don't have a record of his sin, though we know, because Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And his life, he was killed because he did something extremely unwise. Not sinful. He did not follow good advice. He shouldn't have gone into a battle. Maybe he wasn't advised not to, but he went into a battle. He had no business. Yeah, he was advised not to. He said, you don't have any business doing this, and he went in anyway, and he got killed. And he didn't have to. It wasn't a sinful act. It was a gross negligence, a recklessness. Willful and wanton disregard. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I could launch in all sorts of legal terms. But he finished well in the sense that he did what God had called him to do right to the very end, and he did not revert to anything of his past that was sinful, like Jehu did. So that's my prayer. I want Donald, who has definitely started on the path of JU, isn't any question about, hey, throw the bag out the window, you eunuchs. He's got that attitude, and I love it. I just want him to finish on a different plane. The Josiah plane. That when he's gone, maybe it's because he's done something foolish and he gets taken out. Well, this is kind of foolish. But I don't want him to go back to his old ways because he's angry at the people who used to support him. So, well, I'll go back to being a Democrat. I don't think he'll do that. But pray for this man. Pray that he has the spine to do the right thing, that he fulfill his calling, and that is to bring truth, transparency, and justice to an administration, to a country that needs it, and that he'd finish like Josiah, and he'd be mourned at his passing by righteous people. God bless you. See you next week.